You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here with another week of Ravens talk here. On Monday, July 19th, we are under 10 days until the Ravens kick off their training camp as their first full practice, their first full team practice is on July 28th. So we're going to continue to grind away until training camp does begin. I know I've mentioned for me that is kind of like a symbolic start to a season, although I know the actual season doesn't start for a couple more months here. But we're grinding, we're getting there, and here today we're going to continue with our series that we've been doing for this past week here. We started off last Monday getting into our schedule preview, the 2021 schedule preview for the Baltimore Ravens. So we're going to continue with that. Again, it's every Monday and Friday. So we talked about weeks 1, 2, and 3 last Monday, and weeks 4, 5, and 6 on Friday. But now here on Monday, we're getting into weeks 7, 8, and 9. Now, my record prediction so far for the Ravens throughout those first two episodes we did, 5-1. The only loss that I predicted was to the Indianapolis Colts in a primetime game. But hey, I think, you know, the Ravens will take that, a 5-1 record to start the year, especially because the back half of the schedule is so difficult. They can afford to lose a game here or there in the back half if they're able to start the season off strong. So we'll talk about, again, weeks 7, 8, and 9 here. While week 8 is a bye week, I do want to get into what the Ravens should do during their bye week and expect during their bye week and just where the Ravens could be at that point. So obviously, no opponent, but still a very important juncture of their season. In week 7 here in the first segment, we will be getting into the game against the Cincinnati Bengals that they will be playing. And then in week 9 in the third segment, we'll talk about that Minnesota Vikings matchup. So let's get right into it here. Before we do that, though, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. So be sure to follow the show for any updates about when our content comes out. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we will jump right in here and start off with the Ravens Week 7 matchup, previewing it against the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a game that will be played on October 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a home game for Baltimore. It'll be played at M&T Bank Stadium. And this is a game that I think the Ravens have in the bag. I think Baltimore at home against Cincinnati. Look, last year in 2020, the Ravens they beat Cincinnati by a big amount each time. And I'm not going to go too far into the particulars of that game, but in the first game at M&T Bank Stadium, Joe Burrow had a very tough time with the Ravens' defense. The Bengals' offensive line had a tough time with containing the Ravens' pass rush. And that was a game where Joe Burrow, you know, pretty much almost his welcome to the NFL moment, where he was just every single play getting pressured. He was throwing interceptions, and that was a rough game. And then the final game of the season for Baltimore, Week 17, Joe Burrow obviously out with a knee injury at that point, so it was not Burrow starting. Instead, it was a backup, and the Ravens secured a trip to the postseason with a win in that game. Now, heading into this year, the Bengals made a bunch of additions to their team, but they also lost a few pretty good players. William Jackson, the star cornerback, signed for 3 years, $40.5 million with the Washington football team. Carl Lawson, a pretty good pass rusher for the Bengals, ended up signing a 3-year, $45 million deal with the New York Jets. The Bengals also lost John Ross, Mackenzie Alexander, B.J. Finney, longtime running back Giovanni Bernard. But they also made some good additions that I liked. I liked the addition of Mike Hilton. Hilton is one of my favorite slot cornerbacks in the entire league, so he leaves one AFC North rival for Baltimore and goes over to another. So I think that was a good move. The move for Riley Reiff, the 33-year-old tackle from the Minnesota Vikings. He signed a 1-year, $7.5 million deal there. The Trey Hendrickson move, that was 4 years, $60 million. I don't think he's as good as Carl Lawson. He's also a year older and a bit unproven. A lot of his sacks were hustle sacks. You know, he would get blocked out a little bit in the play, and the quarterback would hold the football, and then Hendrickson would clean up because he has such a high motor, which is a really good quality that he has. I also like the Larry Ogunjobi move. The Bengals, you know, kind of scooping up those AFC North players. I think that he was a great guy for Cleveland, and I think he'll be good in Cincinnati as well. So the Bengals, they have, you know, they've improved. Obviously, the additions of Ja'Marr Chase in the draft will help. They added Joseph Ossai as a pass rusher later, who I liked a lot, but didn't really address the offensive line in the draft. They drafted Jackson Carmen. That move was, it was 50-50 by a lot of people. Personally, I didn't love it. Jackson Carmen was not my favorite guy for them on the board. But I will say this is a team that probably will improve quite a bit. They also lost AJ Green, by the way, the longtime Cincinnati receiver. He is now in Arizona, nicknamed the Raven Killer by some. So I think that's a pretty good thing for some people, although he had kind of slowed down over the years. Cincinnati struggled in a lot of different areas in 2020. I mean, definitely on offense. Burrow definitely gave them a spark, but it wasn't all the way there with him for the full off season and with his knee fully healed. Now, I think he's going to take a big jump, especially with a top three receiving core of Tyler Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Joe Mixon also sat out most of the year last year with a foot injury. Now, the Ravens and Joe Mixon kind of struggles against the Ravens. The Ravens' run defense still is one of the best in the NFL, and I think that is where the Ravens can make the Bengals' offense one-dimensional and put pressure on Burrow to throw the football well and just overall effectively. The Bengals were using Giovanni Bernard for the most part, Samaje Perine. That was a team that definitely could have used Joe Mixon. Now, in terms of pure rushing yards, the Bengals ranked 24th in 2020 with 1,668. But I judge rushing for offenses and defenses as well, not on total yards, but on yards per carry. And in terms of yards per carry, it wasn't much better. The Bengals ranked tied for 24th with 4.1 yards per carry. The leaders were the Baltimore Ravens at 5.5. So obviously the Bengals aren't going to be on Baltimore's level, but the addition of Joe Mixon and a somewhat improved offensive line, I think, will help this team out. They're going to throw the football well. I really do think so. It's all going to depend on if the offensive line is up to the task of keeping Joe Burrow upright. I think some weeks it'll be better than others. It'll be a struggle for some, and then I think a lot better. This offensive line in 2020 for Cincinnati was not great. And when looking at the Ravens, you know, most argue that the weakness of this team is the pass rush. And this could be a confidence game for them if they are struggling. You know, I would hope if they were struggling by this point, Eric DaCosta and company would have added some pieces. But if they are struggling, this could be a game where the Ravens can, it's not practice. I'm not going to go that far because the Bengals are an NFL football team. They are talented. Every NFL team is talented. I'm not going to say any team in the NFL is not talented. They have that roster for a reason, and the guys get to the NFL for a reason. But at the same time, if the Ravens go up against all these great offensive lines early, it could be nice for them to just kind of get a week where they can work on some stuff and still go hard and still have to work for their stuff, but it'll just be a bit easier because maybe the Bengals are struggling. Or maybe it's the opposite and the Bengals are actually playing pretty well, and thus the Ravens will have to prove themselves against a division rival. On the defensive side of the ball for Cincinnati in 2020, the statistics were not great. Cincinnati gave up the second most yards per attempt on rushing plays with 5.1 yards per attempt. In terms of passing, the Bengals gave up, it was tied for 23rd in the entire league, 6.9 net yards gained per pass attempt. And overall yards per play, Cincinnati was tied for 27th, averaging 6.1 yards per play given up to opponents. So, yeah, their defense struggled. You know, how much are the losses of Carl Lawson and William Jackson going to impact that defense? I mean, I think a lot. They're going to rely on some big jumps from guys, for example, like Logan Wilson, the inside linebacker, who will probably be stepping in for Josh Bynes. And then you also have other guys, you know, maybe Joseph Asai, someone who they can rely on as well. They also have Jesse Bates, who is one of the best safeties in the league, so he will be there. But is Trey Waynes really going to be that guy for them, right? I don't really see it that way. I think the Ravens offense can definitely take advantage of what Cincinnati's defense is looking like right now. I think the pass rush can have a good game against the offensive line. I don't think it'll be necessarily a huge blowout. You know, it just feels like the Ravens are dominating from start to finish like last year. It certainly could be that way, but I do think, and I want to give credit, Cincinnati, I think, is a bit improved this year. In a couple years, they're going to probably be one of the better teams in the AFC, but for now, I still think Baltimore has the upper hand here, so I'm going to give this another Baltimore win. Baltimore moves to 6-1, picking up their first win against a division rival in the 2021 season here in Week 7. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at the Ravens' bye week in Week 8, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, including coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that mint brownie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And we return here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olszewski, your host, still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to get into the Ravens Week 8 bye week. And, you know, you probably might be thinking, how can you talk about a bye week? But there's a lot that goes into a bye week and just how teams relax, how teams prepare, how teams just rest up for this bye week. It's very important. And depending on where a bye week is for a team, it can not make or break their season, but it can dictate some things if it's early in the year, if it's late in the year. Remember, last season, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a bunch of stuff go on with COVID and the opponents that they were playing, you know, getting it and whatnot. So at the end of the day, the Steelers had a very early bye week, and they didn't like that because it meant that they would have to play a string of games out throughout the rest of the year instead of having that week break, which teams really like in the middle here. So having it during the week 8 here, I think it's good. You know, this is right around where I think I would want it if I were the Ravens. Week 8, week 9, you know, week 10 is a little late, but, you know, I'll take it. For me, I think this week for the Ravens should be all about rest and as well as just preparation. They know that the back half of their schedule is going to be, you know, I hate to say it, but it's going to be brutal. This team definitely has what it takes to compete and win most, if not all, of those games, but there are going to be some in there that are going to be extremely difficult, and we'll get into some of those over the course of the rest of this series here. But by this point, I would not be shocked if there was at least one major injury that the Ravens have had to deal with, maybe multiple. You know, this is a week where teams are going to deal with a lot of different, you know, shuffling around and saying, hey, look, this is what we've done well, this is what we haven't done well. Let's see how we can go about making things better. This isn't just about preparing for the Vikings. This is about preparing for the remainder of the year. And when you look at it that way, the remainder of the year for the Ravens, just in the last 7 games, we'll say, right? That's something I've highlighted here on this show before about how important that stretch is and how difficult that stretch is going to be. It's going to be 5 of the last 7 games are against AFC North rivals, and the other 2 who are not AFC North rivals in those 7 games are going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams. After having a pretty easy December schedule last year for the Ravens, this one's going to be a lot more difficult, and that's why I mentioned in the first segment it's so important for them to start off strong. So a 6-1 record heading into this week 8, I think, would be probably the best case scenario. You know, I know the Ravens will probably lose at least one game. They're playing some talented teams all throughout the year. This isn't a cakewalk year at all for them. No year for any NFL team is a cakewalk year. So there are going to be some games where the Ravens maybe play down to their opponents. We've seen that before. Every team does it. There are going to be some games where the Ravens maybe surprise some people. That also happens. Every team does that as well. But the bye week, the Ravens, I think, are one of the best in the business. It's just handling those weeks, getting their guys home, getting their guys rested, and then bringing them back and saying, hey, this has been a great time for us to just get out of the whole football mindset for a little bit. And to be honest, none of the players really do that. It's more just time for them to recoup and spend time with their families, which is awesome. You know, they don't have to be in a building preparing for a team. It's a nice break. But then the important part this year in particular is getting that mentality that, hey, this is going to be a rough stretch that we're about to go through here. We have the players, we have the roster, we have the talent, and we've been executing, right? If this is a 6-1 team, they can hammer home the fact that, look, we've been executing. We trust each and every one of these guys to go out and contribute. So if the move was made for a pass rusher, or if there, you know, was going to be a move made for a pass rusher, this is the week for the coaches, executives, whoever, to go about and get in meetings with each other and say, hey, look, we haven't been rushing the passer as well as we would have hoped. Or this has been great. You know, we trusted our guys and this is awesome. But if it's the first part, if it's, hey, you know, we haven't rushed the passer as great as we had hoped, maybe that's a sign for them to go out and sign somebody, make a move for somebody. Or if they added someone, it's an opportunity for them to get more familiar with everything because, you know, Yannick Ngakoue comes in. It was a little before the trade deadline actually was supposed to take place, and it did, but whatever. And the Ravens, they caught him up to speed, but the production for a lot of people just wasn't there. And I know that if the Ravens sign Justin Houston, or if the Ravens bring in another guy midseason, it's, all right, how are we going to get him up to speed? Well, I think the bye week would be a great way to bring that player in and get him up to speed and familiar with things. I mean, getting that week off in that week of extra time as opposed to jumping right in, preparing for a team, not really having the time to get familiar with the playbook because you're studying the other team and the opponents, that could be a move that the Ravens could make. That could be the week we see some transactions, but I do anticipate the Ravens making a couple of moves if things aren't going well beforehand. And also, I'm sure we'll see some guys, you know, go on injured reserve, whether it's for the whole year or just for part of it, because injuries are a part of the game. And that's what's so important. That's why when you go back to 2019, that Week 17 game against Pittsburgh, the whole debate, are you going to rest your players or are you going to play your players? The Ravens would have played their players if there wasn't a risk for injury, but obviously in sports, that is not a luxury that anybody has. So when you look at it, the Ravens valued that rest to be able to get their players back up. And even by Week 8, it's very rare that players who have been playing consistent snaps are going to be at 100%. There are going to be those little nagging injuries that cause guys to pop up on the injury report as questionable. Or, you know, they took probable out a while ago. But, you know, it's those injuries that would have put guys on the injury report as probable. And it's that little calf injury or that little wrist injury or that little finger injury that, you know, is annoying, but players can play through it. So to have an extra week to have those things heal, to have the bodies rested, that's the most important thing for them. And then heading into a Week 9 matchup against the Vikings, that's not going to be an easy game, which we'll talk about in the final segment here in a few minutes. This is going to be a team that will find out a lot about themselves over the first part of the season, because if they struggle over that first part of the year, they might struggle during the final part of the year based off of what their schedule is. Cleveland is not going to be a cakewalk 2 weeks out of three where they have a bye in the middle there and the Ravens have to play Pittsburgh, who also is not going to be any rollover as well. Are the Ravens going to be able to defeat Green Bay, to defeat Los Angeles? These are all games that are going to be so important for them. And if they struggle a bit over the course of those first couple weeks, right, if they accidentally drop a game to Denver or to the Chargers, or they drop both of those games, they're not playing up to their potential, this will be a week for them to identify that and say, where can we improve? How can we get better? How can we get through to our guys and say, this season is not over yet? We still have a long way to go. So I think that this season in particular is really important. I mean, it's a make or break year for some guys, such as Miles Boykin, such as Jalen Ferguson, maybe even for coordinators such as Greg Roman. So the bye week is going to be an important week for these guys to rest up, get well, and prepare for the second half of their regular season, which will be no cakewalk. It's going to be tough, but again, I believe in this team. I believe in the talent that they have, just like they do, and we'll see how it all plays out during the 2021 year. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be getting into the Ravens Week 9 matchup with the Minnesota Vikings, so stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we've returned here with our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you. And we're now going to get into the Ravens Week 9 matchup against the Minnesota Vikings, which will not be an easy one. I know people look at the Minnesota roster and they see Kirk Cousins and it's like, oh, he's not that much of a threat. Well, Kirk Cousins ended up throwing for 4,265 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions in 2020. So that's a pretty good season. Not like all pro or anything, but he definitely had a good year in 2020. Dalvin Cook averaged 5 yards per carry and scored 16 touchdowns on the ground, which, you know, is something that's pretty impressive for a running back. He's one of the best in the league. Also had a touchdown through the air as well. Justin Jefferson had a great rookie year, you know, runner-up in rookie of the year, 1,400 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns, had 88 receptions. Adam Thielen obviously still a threat as well. And on the defensive side of the ball, this team was led by the two Erics, Eric Wilson and Eric Kendricks, in tackles, 122 for Eric Wilson and 107 for Eric Kendricks. But Eric Wilson is now in Philadelphia, so the Vikings lose their leading tackler, which will be a bit of a blow to them. But I think, you know, this game will be determined by if the Ravens can stop the Vikings offense. I think the Ravens will be able to do some stuff against the Vikings defense, although they did add some people, and their rushing defense in 2020 was not all that great. They ended up being tied for 23rd in yards per carry allowed with 4.6, and that is what, again, I judge run defense off of, so not overall great. Sheldon Richardson, I think, will be someone who will help them out. Sheldon Richardson, when he was a part of the Cleveland Browns, gave the Ravens some issues in Cleveland against that Browns rushing defense, so he might be able to stop some things there. And then overall yards per play, well, actually, let's go passing first here. We can talk about the Minnesota Vikings, who per attempt, for net yards gained per passing attempt, gave up the 30th, third worst in the league, 7.3 yards per passing attempt. This defense was just not a good one in 2020 in terms of yards per play. That team, who the Cincinnati Bengals was tied with for 27th in the league with 6.1, that was the Minnesota Vikings. So this is a defense that the Ravens can definitely exploit. They did get better, I think, but at the same time, losing your overall tackles leader. Also, Shamar Stephen, who was a big guy in the middle for them, had 34 tackles and half a sack. They did have Dalvin Tomlinson, who's a very good run defender. He came over from the New York Giants, but I do think that this defense for Minnesota just does not have the firepower to keep up with this new and improved Ravens offense, with the offensive line, with the wide receivers. Patrick Peterson also was added to the Minnesota defense, but I don't think that moves the needle to where, all right, now we can stop Lamar Jackson because we have Patrick Peterson. I don't think that is what it is for Minnesota. So you look at the young corner that they have in Jeff Gladney, who I really like, Harrison Smith, one of the best safeties in the NFL. Anthony Harris, though, also gone to Philadelphia. So that was another big loss for this defense. Troy Dye, someone who I liked coming out of 2020, could be in line for an increased role. He only had 28 tackles in 2020. But this is where I think the game is won for the Ravens. It's in their offense, being able to put up points. And even if, you know, Justin Jefferson has a great game against the Ravens corners, which against the Ravens corners, you know, isn't likely for any receiver, but if that happens, or if Dalvin Cook runs all over the Ravens, or if anything happens on the defensive side of the ball for the Ravens, I still think that the offense can put up enough points early to get out to a big lead. And that in turn, you know, whenever the Ravens score all those points on offense, it helps the defense out, because what it does is it forces that offense to go a bit more one-dimensional. All of a sudden, let's say at the end of the first quarter, it's a 14-3 lead or a 17-0 lead. Then teams have to start making up those yards in bunches. They can't really pick away at a first down and go, oh, all right, 2nd and 5, 3rd and 2 on 2 runs. No, it has to be, we're going to get 11 yards here and 13 yards here. And a better way to get that, if you're not an overly dominant run offense, is to throw the football and get those yards. And with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins, with wide receivers like Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, that is, I think, what Minnesota would do. So I think this is yet another win for the Baltimore Ravens, moving them to 7-1 through 9 weeks. This is, so far, a pretty good year for the Ravens. It's a pretty good year for the team, and, you know, obviously not a pretty good year. It's a great year. It's a great start. 7-1, I'd take that in a heartbeat. It would definitely have the Ravens out in front for one of the top spots, if not the top spot in the AFC. They would have beaten some good opponents along the way in Kansas City, in Minnesota. You know, Los Angeles is a team who might be really good this year, and they're one of those sleepers. So this is a good start for the Ravens. I think that if they can build on that record early, as I talked about, then they can afford to maybe slip up a bit. Although, you know, if they have all that momentum early, I don't know if they would lose it late. But, you know, who knows? The NFL season is a long one. It is a grueling one. And by the time we hit December, we hit January, we will start to see those true colors for this Baltimore Ravens team. But I'm excited overall, right? These are going to be great games. It's not just like, all right, the Ravens win, the Ravens lose. We're going to know. We're going to find out. We're going to be able to feel a lot about this team over the first half of it. Obviously, with there being 17 games, it's a bit longer this year, which is fine. You know, more football, but this is the first year of that. So how are guys' bodies going to respond with a 17th week? Obviously, we're not there on our series yet or anything, but just thinking about it long term, how are the Ravens going to manage guys like Calais Campbell and Derek Wolf and Brandon Williams and their snaps, the older guys like Jimmy Smith also? Are they going to play less in these earlier games against teams like Los Angeles, the Chargers, and Minnesota and all these teams? Or are they going to kind of ease them into action early, and then by the time week 9 hits, week 10, whatever, then they kind of amp them up and say, all right, let's go. Let's get ready for this end of season push. So we'll see how the Ravens handle all of it, but I still am very excited for what this season will hold for the Baltimore Ravens in 2021. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, it is more Baltimore Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.